Look around us. You'll see it. Signs are everywhere. But instead of many people getting busy about God's work, the new theme of the last days is, excuse me, please. excuse. Seems like the more I pastor, the more excuses I hear. And it's amazing because somebody might think they're telling me an excuse I've never heard before, but I don't think I've heard too many excuses that I haven't heard. Excuses, not reasons. I can't think I've heard too many excuses that I haven't heard before. In a time when we need people to step up and take up their cross and to do their thing, take responsibility and make a difference, instead, like the world, they insist on stepping back, giving up responsibility, and making an excuse. Listen carefully. Instead of getting by, give God your best. Refuse to give Him leftovers. Y'all say, God, help me. Refuse to give you leftovers. When you need God, do you say, God, just send me what you can? You tell God what you're needing, you see it, you want it. You're telling God, I need you to bring healing, I need you to do whatever. God, I need you to work in my life. But then, on the flip side, how many times do we say, God, it's important. You said so in your word, the importance. Looking at the way the temple was built and erected. Look at all the things that God did. God gives us His best. Look at Jesus on the cross. That is His absolute best. And God expects nothing less than our best to Him. But how many times, and I'm guilty of it too, how many times instead of giving God your best, you gave Him leftovers? How many times did you just give Him, well, God, I'll take care of you after everything else is taken care of. I'll pray. You're telling me to pray, but I'll pray when I'm through doing my stuff. I'll do whatever when I get some time. I'll give you after I've done everything. And instead of giving God our best, because God blesses us extremely when we give Him our best, we give Him leftovers and then wonder why things are going haywire. So let's go ahead and let's dive on in. Strength doesn't come from what you can do. It comes from overcoming the things you once thought you couldn't. Think about that. Let it sink in. Anybody can do what they can do, but how about those that you actually worked at it and you've done what you at once could not do? That's where your strength comes from, and that's where you get beyond leftovers. Anybody notice how hard things have been getting lately? The challenges that are before us. Think about it. All these challenges that we face all the time. Now, Satan, listen carefully. This is worth the price of admission right here. Satan sends challenges to break us. That's his sole purpose in being here is to break us. Because we get to get what he can't get. We've got grace. He didn't get the grace. We get a chance to accept God's grace and turn around and see God move in our life. He doesn't get that chance because he was in God's presence and turned away. He wasn't walking by faith. He was walking by sight and walked away. So he doesn't have the same opportunities now that we have. No matter how bad you've been, no matter how off course you've been, we got God. And God's got grace and mercy, and I thank Him for it. So, Satan sends challenges to break us. He wants to break our commitment to God and to each other. He wants us to break our commitment, break our calling, send a challenge to break our concentration. And so, when these challenges are sent by Satan, they're there for that purpose. It's all in a nutshell, your commitment, your calling, your concentration. Now, when God allows challenges, He allows them now. Why don't He stop them all? Because God allows them, listen carefully. This is like a two-edged sword. Sometimes it don't even make sense. It's an oxymoron. God allows the challenges to build our commitment, to build our calling, to build our concentration. So the same incident that happens to you, if you go by what Satan wants, you're going down. But if you let God do what God does best and lean on Him, the same thing that can take you down could be the same thing that lifts you up. It's amazing. It's amazing to watch people go through the same thing at the same time and watch how some people prosper and other people fail because they don't see the difference and they don't call on God to help them. Because the whole time during all these challenges, Satan is speaking in your ear, and he's speaking to you through friends and through family and through church members and telling you how bad you got it, and if you'd have been better, this wouldn't be happening, blah, 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 blah. But God says, trust me. Trust me. And watch what I'll do. So, the final decision in all this, same problem can build you or break you. The final decision is always ours. Now, I'm asking you now, I want you to watch this. Watch this carefully, because I'm telling you, this we could go home after this. Don't, but we could. Okay, ready? How can I tell which way I'm leaning? How can you tell which way you're leaning? How can we know that we're listening to the right words versus the wrong words? Number one, watch it. Watch this. Are you giving God your leftovers? You get bys? Well, He'll understand. Are you giving Him your leftovers? Is your commitment waning? Is your calling even being doubted? Everybody's got a calling in here. Maybe not everybody's going to serve in a pulpit, but everybody's got a call of God. Everybody in here. Is your concentration being broken? Again, are we giving God our leftovers? You see, listen carefully. Have excuses become your norm. Something goes wrong, something ain't working, you're not doing exactly what you should be doing, and whoop, I can whip out that excuse. I remember at Fountain, there was a 6:30 meeting where the supervisors went, there was an 8:30 meeting where the managers went, and I was in the 8:30 meeting, and I used to hear some excuses after excuse after excuse, and one day, I was caught off guard. There was two engineers named David. I happened to be one of them. And we're sitting side by side. The project that they're talking about, this guy, this David, was holding it up. It was my project, but he was the one holding it up. He hadn't done what I asked him to do and showed him the part that he needed to do. So Mr. Fountain looks over and says, David, and I thought I thought he was talking to that David to start with. He says, your name is David Linton, and I said, yes, sir, it sure is. He goes, why isn't it fixed? Now, legally, I could have said, because this guy here has blown it. He hasn't done his part. I got everything done, but his part, once he gets through, I'll be ready to go. But the Lord spoke to me and said, you need to show them an example today, a strong example. And so it's kind of scary because you got all the bigwigs in there, and I go, look, instead of saying it's David, he's right beside me. He knows he's the one. And I went, I'm sorry. I blew it. And when I said, I'm sorry, which is something we never heard, I said, I'm sorry, I blew it. Everybody got quiet. You could have heard a pin drop. Nobody said a word. And although it was only for a few seconds, it felt like it was 10 minutes. Total silence. And finally, the vice president engineer looked over at me and said, like this, he's going. Nobody knew what to do because I was not passing the buck. I took responsibility. And I said, I'm sorry. And nobody was saying they're sorry. I said, I'm sorry. She just goes, you're forgiven. And when he said that, everybody around the table started going, yeah, you're forgiven. It's okay. You'll get. And I wanted to punch that guy beside me and go, don't do this to me again. But I didn't. And it was so amazing when I refused. That was a reason, not an excuse. But if I'd have done like a lot of people, it would have sounded like an excuse. So I just said, stop it right here. I'm sorry. I blew it. It's amazing. That day, something very powerful happened in that room. Let me ask you a question. How eager are you to make excuses? Remember, there's a difference in a reason and an excuse. This morning when DC, I'm on the way here, and DC says, Daddy, I got called out. I know he's the emergency manager. I know he's on call. And we've already talked about it. He says, Daddy, what do I do if I get called in the middle? Even if I'm even playing, I get called. I said, put the guitar down. You're going to be saving somebody's life or somebody's house or something, a wreck. Leave. Just get in your truck and leave. And so he said, Daddy, I can't be there this morning. I just got called out. I am so sorry. And I said, son, don't be sorry. I said, go save somebody. I love you, buddy. We're praying for you. That's a reason. God is not interested in our excuses. You say, you might give me an excuse. I may buy it. I may not buy it. But you give God an excuse, he looks at him and goes, is that the best you got? Because he knows. He already knows. He knows if you're giving a reason or an excuse. He knows it. So, God's not interested in our excuses, but our ability to unleash our purpose on earth, regardless of the struggles we find along the way. Isn't that powerful? That is so, so powerful. A good way to build versus break our commitment, our calling, our concentration is to start by refusing to give God our leftovers. Refuse to place blame, but accept responsibility. And refuse to live comfortable in our excuses. There was people at Fountain, there was people at Procter & Gamble, there's people in this world that I know that I'm going to get an excuse. I know it just assures the world. Excuses are coming. Even when they give me a reason, they have to cover it up with an excuse. Excuse, excuse, excuse. Excuse me, please. And my question is, does that please God? You know, what's happened is we've learned to function in our dysfunction. And when you learn to function in your dysfunction, then excuses become the norm. And when excuses become the norm, instead of growing, we stagnate. And when we stagnate, we wonder, where is God? He must not love me. He's not working for me. And that's not what he's saying. God's not saying that. God's saying, I want to work with you. I want to work for you. I want to do for you. But you got to give me something to work with. So watch. Begin, watch this. Begin while others are making excuses. Tell me that one again you told me last week, brother. Say it loud, they can hear. That's awesome. That is so, so awesome. I used to say, you know what I used to tell people? I used to tell them this all the time at Fountain. I say, look, for all y'all guys that say it can't be done, get out of the way of the guys that are getting it done. Get out of the way. We're going to make it happen. Begin while others make excuses. Keep going while others are quitting. Here it goes. God exhorts us to do all for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. To work at whatever we do with all our heart. Colossians 3:23. Colossians 3:17. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27, run in such a way as to get the prize, not like someone running aimlessly. This is some powerful stuff, and I know that it may even have some itchies in there and some ouchies, but you know, the itchies and the ouchies cause us to grow. Every time I've grown, it always usually started with an ouchie or itchy. Now, I'm not going to read the whole scripture because we did it last week, but remember the alabaster box we talked about? That Mary had no idea, none, that Jesus was going to be crucified and never come back. But she saw the opportunity, and she took that alabaster box, and she used it to bless her Savior. She had little, meaning she had one thing. That's all she had. It was a precious, prized possession. It cost a year's salary. This precious, prized possession. She had one thing. She had little. She focused on what she had versus what she didn't have. When I'm counseling in the community, counseling at the detention center, I get to hear a whole lot of what we don't have and what we didn't have growing up and what we don't have now. And I go, do you want to get out of this? Do you want to get out of this cycle? Then quit focusing on what you don't have and what you didn't get and start focusing on what you got. And watch what God can do when we focus on what we have. This woman, she had that alabaster box. She didn't hesitate to give him her best. Jesus responded with his best. He said, this is going to be remembered and discussed from here to eternity. And it has. We talk about it all the time. Next, the widow's mite. Now, the widow's mite is a very powerful thing, too. Remember, Mary had little. Let's read about the widow's mite. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which is less than 2 cents, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast in more than all that have cast into the treasury. For they all did cast out of their abundance, but she, of her want, that she cast all that she had, even her living. Let's look at another version of this. Sitting across from the offering box, he was observing how the crowd tossed money in for the collection. Many of the rich were making large contributions, and that one poor widow came and put in two small coins, a measly 2 cents. And he called his disciples and said, the truth is that this widow gave more to the collection than all the others put together. All the others gave what? Listen carefully. And I want you to think about this in your own life. I'm talking more than money. I'm talking about your time, your talent, your treasure. Your time, your talent, your treasure. All the others gave what they'll never miss. Wow. All the others gave what they'll never miss. She gave extravagantly what she couldn't afford. She gave her all. You see, Mary had little. That poor widow, she had very little. She didn't have that year's worth of salary that cost to buy that alabaster box. She just had less than 2 cents. Two mites together worth half a cent, see, half a cent. Smallest copper coins in circulation. It represented the smallest contribution lawful to make, the very smallest you can make to the temple. Jesus said, she gave more than anybody else. Her attitude was greater than her actions. Let me ask you a question. Today, is your attitude greater than your actions? Wow. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 6, 9, 6, and 7 says, but he said, he that soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. That word cheerful giver, that word cheerful in the Greek is where we get the word hilarious. God loves a hilarious giver. Somebody that goes, here it goes. I know this might be, look, I know this might not be much, but this is what I got. I'm not going to hold back. I'm going to give it to God. And I know God is going to take care of my needs. Yeah, ha, you're a lie, devil. Ha! Hilariously give unto God. So she had very little. And the next, David's powerful choice. One had one thing, one had very little. Here goes David. 2 Samuel 24, 24 and 25. And the king said unto Araunah, nay, but I will surely buy thee a price, neither will I offer burnt. What had happened was David had caused a plague to come on the country. And people were dying. I mean, majorly dying. And so God said, I'm going to give you a choice of what you can do to stay the plague. And so David chose to give an offering to stay that plague. He was counting the people that weren't supposed to. That's a long story behind all that. But because of his actions, the people were dying. And so he goes, and the king says unto Araunah, nay, but I will surely buy of it. He goes to Araunah, and he says, I want this piece of land, because I want to use it to give an offering unto God. And he said, you can have it. You can have anything I got. Anything you want, king, you can have it. Some of us say, man, didn't God bless us today? I was going to give what I could, and I found out I didn't have to give it all. They gave it to me. Man, was I blessed. I'm glad David didn't think that way. And the king said unto Araunah, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which cost me nothing. Y'all say nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, so that the Lord was entreated for the land and the plague was stayed from Israel. Now, let's look at another version of this. But the king said unto Araunah, no, I've got to buy it from you for a good price. I'm not going to offer God, my God, sacrifices that are no sacrifice. Woo! I refuse to offer sacrifices to my God that are not a sacrifice. Wow. So David bought threshing floor and the ox, paying out 50 shekels of silver. He built an altar to God there and sacrificed burnt offerings and peace offerings. God was moved by the prayers, and that was the end of the disaster. Now watch this. David's powerful choice. Mary had one thing. The widow had very little. He had everything. He had everything but peace. His people were dying. His nation was crumbling because of bad choices. His kingdom had a problem. God said he could not have peace without a sacrifice. God named the place. God named the plan. But David named the price. Let me just stop right there. So many times we're needing from God, or we're trying to show God that we're trying to be faithful to Him in our time, our talent, our treasure. He names the place, He names the plan, but we name the price, because God loves a cheerful giver. It's up to us. It's not up to Him. He said, I refuse to offer God that which cost me nothing. And when He offered it, the plague was stayed. I know this is not a shout down, shout me down message, but but it's a very powerful, life-changing message. Don't give in to excuses that can keep you from really living the best life God has for you. What it means to give God your best. Ready? This is really cool. Your best involves giving God your total being, the wit and her might. God, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Matthew 22:37. Your best involves giving God your first of everything, marrying an alabaster box. Israelites giving God their first fruits, the best of the flock. We serve the same God, still worthy of the first and best of our time, our efforts, and our resources. The best involves giving God your most superior work. David, to give God a half-hearted or sloppy effort falls short of doing whatever we do with all of our might for the glory of God. I need to get here to read this because it's too far away. 8 powerful words. It actually says for the gym, but this is not just for the gym, it's for us. Be yourself. The best project you'll ever work on is you. 2, do it. All things are difficult before they are easy. 3, no pain, no gain. The pain you feel today will be the strength you feel tomorrow. 4, don't quit. A little progress each day adds up to big results. 5, work hard. Good things come to those who sweat. It might come to those who sweat, but nobody might want to be around you. 6, recharge. My body instantly feels recharged when I work out. 7, stay strong. Be stronger than your excuses. 8, feel good. Create a healthy and happy body. So now, get ready. We're getting ready to close. In order for us to give God our best, and let me ask him while we're starting, do you feel like coming up today and playing BJ? Do you think you can make it? I'll give you plenty of time to get here if you want to. Okay. Our brother here's had a broken hip, or actually a broken bone in his hip, his leg, but he's doing great. He was in a walker last week. Be careful because we don't want you in a walker next week. Be determined to move forward. Be determined to move strong. Be determined to move excuse free. Colossians, you got it, bro? Okay. Colossians 3:23, whatever may be your task, work at it heartily from the soul as something done for the Lord and not for men. This week, here's your challenge. Don't forget it. It's kind of like last week's, but there's some differences. Be quick to take responsibility. Be quick. Instead of being quick to come up with an excuse, be quick to take responsibility. Begin to see problems as opportunities. Build a no-excuse attitude. That's one of the reasons our team works so much at Fountain. The consultant told me, said, y'all don't make excuses. Y'all get results. And so we were doing projects. When he came in, we were doing projects for every area other than our own. But our air, well, industrial engineering, we did everything anyway. I mean, we didn't have a special spot. We had it all over. But we were doing projects for other people because he said, y'all have a no-excuse attitude. Focus on the haves versus the have-nots. I know there's a whole lot. Everybody's got a lot of have-nots. I have not the body I used to have. I come out from working out one day, and I come home, and I told my wife, I said, I got a body of a God. And she said, yeah, Buddha. I don't have the hair I used to have. I don't have the energy I used to have. But I thank God I got energy. And I thank God I still got my brain. And I thank God that there's still opportunities out there. And I thank God that I do my best to see problems as opportunities. And I thank God that I still see Him work in our life. Focus on the haves, not the have-nots. And just keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. This might seem so simple to some of y'all, but this is very powerful. BJ, who's getting over that broken femur in that hip, was on a walker and quickly said, I'm tired of the walker, and he found himself on crutches in the days on nothing. And asked him what to play, he said, I'll think about it. And he came up here, he could barely walk, but he came up and played. I didn't hear an excuse in any of that. None. I thank you, BJ, because you didn't have an excuse. Thank you. Because if anybody got a reason, there's the reason. But he did it anyway. God's got us. But there's one thing we got to stop. There's no choice. Time's too short. It's okay to have reasons. We all have reasons. But it's not okay to have excuses. And if you ask God to do a gut check on you, next time you turn down the opportunity to do something, ask God to gut check you. Is it a reason or is it an excuse? Because there's a big difference. If there's a reason, God will still bless you. If it's an excuse, you just keep putting yourself further and further and further back. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. Everybody bow your heads. Close your eyes. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I want you just to stop and think about some of the things you may have used as excuses lately. Not reasons. Excuses. And I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to gut check you. To gut check you and see if that was a legitimate reason or was that an excuse. And if it was an excuse, ask God, once He shows it to you, ask God to forgive you for that. Because he that knows to do good and don't, it's a sin. For him that knows to do good and doesn't, that's a sin. Ask God to gut check you. And if it's an excuse, ask God to forgive you. And move forward. Don't stay in it. Don't wallow in it. Just move forward. Thank God for His grace and His mercy and move forward. And ask God to help you develop a no-excuse attitude. Now, if you're here today and you don't believe that you're as close to God as you should be and you just want to make sure you are, with nobody looking around, every eye closed, every head bowed, would you put that hand up and say, I know I'm not as close as I need to be and I want to be closer. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty, and I thank you, God, that you for the boldness to put up those hands. If you're here today and you know, I haven't got to tell you, you know that the Holy Spirit's gut checked you, and you've let a lot of what could have been reasons eventually pass by reasons and become excuses. And you don't know why it doesn't seem like things are working. And you're needing God to not only gut check you, but forgive you and give you the power to move forward. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Would you put that hand up and say, pray for me, Pastor. I need that. I need that. I need that. Bless them, bless them, bless them. Now we're going to pray right now. And we're going to believe God's going to do something, because this is the last days. And we have to be busy about our Father's business. Pray with me. Father, I love you. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you, God, that you haven't already consumed us. I thank you, God, instead, you continually lift us up. I ask you right now, Lord, to help us move beyond excuses, take responsibility, and move forward. And we thank you for it right now, in the name of Jesus. And let this year become my no-excuse year. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Now, I'm going to walk out and say the Lord's Prayer. And when I get through, I want Brother Benny, you dismiss us in prayer after the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Oh, come on. Put your hand this way. We're going to pray for Miss Ann. She's tough now. And we also want to pray for Ethan's family. Okay? Ethan, he's with God now, but Ethan's family really, really desperately needs him. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, Lord, to touch Lord Miss Ann in the name of Jesus. Touch her gallbladder, touch her body, lift her up, strengthen her in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for that. I thank you, God, for touching Ethan's family. Lift them up and strengthen them, Lord. And this shattered, the friends, their hearts are broken. I ask you, Lord, to bless them right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.